Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we thank Scott Vecchi for coming in and being our guest just a couple of moments ago. And we turn our focus to our next guest, Joe. Joe's kind of all out of sorts because normally this segment that we're going to do, and I said it earlier when we had Marty on, normally right after we check with Malcolm Alter, we do, you know, the elected officials, we do the state outreach report, we'll have a state representative, we'll have a governor, we'll have, you know, a constitutional officer, we'll have a state senator when we can find one, and we have them on, and we do something called the State House Report. Well, the State House Report, we pushed it back for the simple reason was that Marty Terrell had to be in Brockton in order to do his thing. So
I got bumped again, Kevin? Is that what you're telling me? Is that a roundabout way of telling me I got bumped again?
I got to tell you, though, but you're the guy who, you know what, when I need somebody to come in, when Jim Cantwell can't make it into studio on time, you're the guy who shows up. You get like the call. Your bat phone goes off.
I'm on the on-deck guy.
You're the on-deck guy. Okay. You're the guy who's, you know, the red phone goes off. The bat phone. So this is now.
You should probably introduce me so, you know.
Yeah, well, the people know who you are now. Did you kind of blab when you weren't supposed to? Now, we have a good friend of the show, as all the elected officials. We don't have them in here for malice. If you haven't understood what we do on this program by now, I can't help you other than tell you we try to bring community-related folks in here. And we have a good rapport with all of our elected officials here on the South Shore. Nobody has yet to say, no Tachi, no Rossi, we're not doing that damn show. As much as we might get.
Is that an invitation?
No. But we have a state representative from the 6th Plymouth District. Josh Cutler is here.
And I'm proud to announce a new constituent who has moved into the 6th Plymouth District, who I'm just delighted to be representing now. My good friend, Joe Rossi. Welcome.
Thank you, everybody. Yes, as everyone knows, I'm a wanderer, and I wandered my way now into Representative Cutler's district.
And I have to give our good friend Jim Campbell a little bit of a ribbon because he moved out of his district into mine.
I know. It's been a great many years, but Josh, I appreciate your warm welcome.
Welcome.
Wait. So you could technically say that Jim Cantwell's loss is your gain.
That's right. Exactly.
You actually can say that.
Well, we don't know how Joe votes, so it may not be true or not, but we'll see. But we'll let him off on that one. But so wait, Malcolm, am I supposed to give like a weather traffic report or?
No. Remember, okay. that would be at 6:20, but 6:20. Okay. You're good. It's okay. Yeah, I know. See, you're all out of sorts too because we're doing this, you know, after the 7 o'clock hour. I apologize. It is Joe's fault, and I won't let him do that again.
Well, you can't blame Joe anymore because now he's my constituent, so he can do it wrong.
Excuse me, I am your constituent too. So you might want to be careful because you don't know how I vote as well. What's going on? This is your chance. The State House Report is elected leaders' chance to tell us what they're working on. I know one of the top initiatives, I'm somebody who pays attention to what's going on with social media, and I saw something that you posted in the past week in regards to park testing. What's going on?
Sure. So lots going on, Kevin, up at the State House. It's a busy season for hearings, and you know, we just wrapped up the House budget. One of the issues that's come up, it's been an issue, you know, for a long time, simmering, I would say, is regarding park testing, the MCAS, Common Core, all the standardized testing in our schools. And I think, over time, I've really, you know, talking to parents and teachers and educators, it just, you know, it becomes more and more of a concern, the level of testing that we're imposing on our kids. And I'm very concerned that, you know, we're moving away from the learning and getting into the testing. And I think that's the key distinction. You know, when you don't have time to learn, you're all focused on testing, something's wrong. I think the pendulum has swung too far in one direction. I think, you know, if you go back a number of years, we didn't have the MCAS at all. I think obviously we needed to have some standards. We need to have a common curriculum, you know, in the state. And there's a lot of reasons for having some degree of testing, and I'm all for that. But we've gone too far. We've just gone too far. So there's a number of pieces of legislation up on Beacon Hill that have been trying to address this. There's one bill, bipartisan bill, is my colleague Representative Decker out of Cambridge, but supported by Republicans, Democrats of all political stripes, to basically put a 3-year pause on park testing, which is part of Common Core, and also the MCAS as a graduation requirement. With the thinking being that we really need to take a breath, take a sort of collective breath, let's see where we're going with all this testing. Is it the right direction? We need to obviously have, you know, comprehensive standards, but you know, what can we do to ratchet back the testing a little bit and to make sure we're giving our teachers, you know, the flexibility to be teachers?
I think the important thing here is that I think we want to make sure that whoever is teaching our children, that they're doing it properly. We want to make sure that whatever information we're giving to our children, that they are absorbing it. But the problem here is, and I've heard it one too many times, is it seems as though kids these days are being taught to the test. They're not being taught to learn. Joe, did you want to follow
up? Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, is I can tell you from my experience being, you know, not too far
being
out of school.
MCAS kid.
Being an MCAS kid, yeah. That's exactly what's been happening in the school systems, is that, and it's not the fault of the teachers. It just happens to be that we're gearing our learning curriculum towards the test rather than learning the real issues that may not be discussed in the test, but just need to be taught in our schools.
Yeah, critical thinking is really the key skill we want to teach young people, and if we lose that, then you know we've lost quite a bit. I was chatting with a teacher recently in trying to encourage them to bring their class up to visit me at the State House, because you know it's fun to have visitors and we love to have field trips. Mm. She's like, yeah, Josh, I don't know if we can do it. I mean, that's like taking a day out of school to do it, and you know I have this curriculum I have to get through in order to meet the test. And, you know, that's a shame that we can't have kids come up to the State House and learn about, you know, state government and civics and things because of a test. So, again, you know, we just want some common sense here. And so this bill, which, again, you know, is one of the nice things about it, it's really drawn support from the left and from the right, would put a 3-year moratorium, give us some time to really study this in more in depth, and freeze PARC as far as the new standards. The Baker administration is going to be making a decision about PARC and Common Core perhaps later this year as well. So this is another tool to kind of push, hopefully convince him that that isn't the right decision. So, you know, it's just had a hearing, so it's still early on in the process. But, you know, I think I was optimistic. I submitted some testimony. And again, it was one of those issues where you saw people of all different political stripes kind of coming together, all realizing that the testing has just simply gone too far.
And knowing that a lot of communities have actually had non-binding referendums.
Right, correct.
To vote, and I think one of the communities...
Right, Hanson
did, and they voted, they actually voted to, you know, that they don't want to do the PARC testing again. But, you know, it's non-binding. It's just basically a message to the governor. Governor, this is how our community feels in regards to PARC testing. Please think about it.
Sure, and I think on a lot of those kinds of issues, Kevin, my feeling about it is, you know, those should be decisions made by educators, not by politicians, not to bash my own profession. But I think, the people who know best should be the ones making these kinds of decisions. And so, again, I think just the Common Core, you know, there may be a lot of value to it, but in this case, we need to take a break.
I could see this, and maybe you see this the same way, Josh, as equating it to almost like healthcare, where we already had a great system in place. Why should the federal government come in and replace that? Well, I think MCAS has been regarded time and time again as one of the more advanced, if not the most, testing in the entire country. So why should we bring in another system that overrides, you know, what we're doing up here? And I think to your point, you know, the 3-year break sounds like a good idea to kind of evaluate that and say, hey, you know, what are we really getting ourselves into, rather than just kind of throwing that on the table. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, Joe, that's absolutely right. You know, we live here in Massachusetts. We don't always realize what we have. And, you know, there's certainly, not to say there isn't room for improvement, but if you look at our educational system, it's top notch. And, you know, our MCAS, you know, scores, our success on science, reading, and math, we measure up to like other countries, not just other states. So, I mean, I think I read a statistic, was it Singapore? We were fourth in the world in math for fourth graders. So, I mean, that's really an exceptional performance. And obviously, there's always room for improvement. And we have areas where we definitely need to improve. We should be proud of what we have here in Massachusetts.
I will tell you, Representative, we are speaking with Representative Josh Cutler. While you had to wait you know, instead of doing it at 6:20, kind of one of the benefits of waiting is normally right about now we'd be saying goodbye to you, because usually it's a smaller segment.
I get more time.
You actually have twice the time.
Wow. So wait, I'm not done.
You're not done. There's more.
But wait, there's more.
Besides these Ginsu knives, you get this. What else have you been working on, and what else is going on in your district? If you want to share that,
sure. Well. Let me tease that second part, because there is something.
Please tease.
I love to, you know, is that what we call it in radio? A tease?
It's a tease.
A tease, okay.
Time for you to pay off.
So this coming week, Wednesday, we're having a special event up at the State House, which is a fun event every year, called Unsung Heroine Day. And so it's an opportunity for us to recognize the Commonwealth's unsung heroines and women around the country, around the Commonwealth, who... you know, contribute to our communities in ways, you know, big and small, that are unsung heroes in our towns. And so we are inviting a good number of these women up to the State House to honor and recognize them. And I'm very proud that someone from my district, Joe's district as well, Kevin's district, was chosen to be represented here. Janet LaBarge, who may be a familiar name to many listeners out there, her good deeds business and dirty deeds done dirt cheap, I'll get that out, does a tremendous amount to give back to the community, as you probably know, with all the money she raises for different local groups. And so she was chosen to be one of our unsung heroines for 2015 for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And so she'll be coming up on Wednesday, and I'll be there, and very excited and proud to stand there with her and celebrate her achievements.
How about as far as bills? Don't you have a couple of bills that you got in the works?
So that was
as well?
My tease, yeah. So the other piece of business going on, something that I've been working on, that kind of an interesting issue that I got involved in last year, and it was proud to be the lead sponsor of this year, was a bill regarding the use of offshore tax havens. And while offshore tax havens are wonderful places to go visit on vacation, when we are having a select few companies basically parking their profits earned here in Massachusetts in these offshore tax havens, places like the Grand Caymans, Luxembourg, Aruba, and so forth, and avoiding their share of corporate income tax, that puts more of the burden on all of us. And as a guy who runs a business, you know, I have to pay corporate taxes to Massachusetts. It's not my favorite thing to do, but, you know, we do it, and we have to pay for the services that we get to make this a great Commonwealth. And so when you have a select few that obviously aren't doing that, it's not fair in my book. And so I filed a bill this year to close what's called the water's edge loophole. It's a bit of a complicated matter, but essentially it says that currently in Massachusetts we have something called combined reporting. So if you have a multinational company that does business in Massachusetts, might be registered in Delaware, has a subsidiary in Texas, they can ascribe whatever portion of income that they earn here in Massachusetts, and they will pay a corporate tax just on that portion. It's a fair way to go. But that policy doesn't apply past the water's edge. So if you have a company that has an offshore subsidiary in the Grand Caymans and ships part of their profits earned here in Massachusetts over the Grand Caymans, well, bingo, they don't have to pay corporate taxes on that, or they pay a very nominal amount in whatever the country is. And so closing this loophole has been estimated to bring in an extra $79 million a year to Massachusetts, which again is money we could use to fix the MBTA, we could provide an earned income tax credit, or we could return it to cities and towns to help relieve the burden on taxpayers. So however we decided to use it is up to the good folks out there, but to me it's a loophole that's crying out to be closed. I think it's a matter of fairness, and again, it's not a Democrat versus Republican issue. I can tell you I have a list of co-sponsors, 52 co-sponsors.
That's my next question.
Some of whom, many of whom are South Shore colleagues, and I want to thank all of them. In fact, I think all of my South Shore colleagues are co-sponsors. I have folks from the left and from the right, and again, from all over the political stripes, because, you know, we can disagree about the appropriate level of taxation and so forth, but we all believe firmly that taxes should be applied fairly and uniformly, and that's the key thing. And so when you allow a select few companies who have the wherewithal to hire enough lawyers, enough accountants to find these loopholes, you know, that's not fair to the rest of us that play by the rules. So it's a bill called an act relative to closing offshore tax havens. So we just got a hearing last week before the Revenue Committee, and hoping to make some traction on that this term.
Okay. How does it, I mean, is this strictly you're just hoping that some of the members of the House are jumping on this, or do you got folks over in the Senate who also will be on board with this too?
So this companion bill over in the Senate, Senator Montigny from New Bedford filed some companion legislation as well. So it's a bill that's both in the House and the Senate, which is what you often do to kind of try to increase the chances of getting something passed. And again, we had 50 co-sponsors in the House, very well received, because again, you know, cutting services, increasing taxes, nobody wants to do either of those. Finding a way where you can get creative and close loopholes is really a win-win in my view. And I think this is one way we can do that. People are, no job is created when we're offshoring funds to the Grand Cayman Islands. Maybe an extra accountant gets paid, but you know, no jobs are created. We want the money here in Massachusetts where it was earned. That's the bottom line.
Okay, we're speaking with State Representative Josh Cutler during the State House report, the extended State House.
The extended version, yeah.
Extended version.
We haven't had our sports, you know, dalliance into that. Because usually I like to go and know what's going on in the sports world.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking that we should probably do a Monday Night Talk draft to draft baseball teams, seeing that the Red Sox.
I was thinking, I was worried coming in here.
Alternative teams that I want to root for.
Tough questions from Kevin. What should we do with John Farrell? And I'm not sure how I'd answer that, because
I've heard that there's a movement to bring back Bobby Valentine. Because at this point in time,
no.
64 games in 2012,
it's brutal.
He was 31-33. If you look at what last year, where the Sox were and where they are this year, right now they're just about 10 games under 500. It's pretty bad. No, I wasn't going to go into sports. I actually was going to kind of commend you. From what I understand, you mentioned you're a business person. Well, you're no longer a person who was a publisher or somebody who was part of the newspaper, now have a bona fide law practice. You have a partner.
Yes, Becky Coletta, a longtime friend of mine who's an attorney in Hanson, and I partnered up. So we have Coletta and Cutler in Hanson. So we're
what type of law do you practice?
Well, a lot of the things I was already working on: business law, helping small businesses, also real estate and wills and estates, estate planning. So
Joe, make sure you print out the bill for the little PSA that we just gave.
Yeah,
the good attorney here.
Thank you for that.
Folks want to find out more about
Coletta and CutlerLaw.com.
Okay. Anything else that we've overlooked talking to you about that you want to mention? Any other visits to the State House from anybody from your
district? I had a great visit from the group of students at Duxbury High School just Friday, actually, from their Latin class, who wanted to come up and were learning about Latin. And so they were going on the Freedom Trail and came and visited us at the State House, and we got to hang out and talk a little bit in the House chamber. And I have to say, I'm always impressed whatever town, whether it's Pembroke or Hanson, or even people, you know, from other communities in the South Shore, I'm always impressed by the young people that I meet, just the level of interest. We always give our young people a hard time, but I'm always impressed by the folks that I've met and just how involved and engaged they are in the community, and these kids were no different. So it's all good.
I think he was speaking at you, Joe.
I was looking at Joe as I did that, as a younger person. Kevin, you know.
Yeah, well, you and I are kind of the
same. I think you may
boat.
Be closer to my age, Kevin.
I
maybe even a little bit more. I don't know. I don't want to.
You really enjoyed
this interview's
your last
been
time
going
on the
really
show,
well,
you?
So I don't know if I want to insult you at the end.
You really enjoyed your last time on the show, didn't you? If folks want to kind of, because you're somebody who's, you know, in the community, you do a lot of stuff. And I know that you do a lot of office hours in the district. Folks want to find out what you're doing up the State House or where they can kind of catch up.
Yeah, so anytime people want to come to my office hours, the schedule is posted to my website at joshcutler.com. I do them every Friday morning, rotating around the towns. And if people just want to talk to me, you know, or don't have time to go to the office hours, or it's not convenient, just send me an email or give me a shout on my cell phone. It's 781-217-5854. Glad to hear from anybody.
And depending on where you are in the district, you can either watch Cutler's Corner, or you can watch the 6th Plymouth District version of Crosstalk.
Crosstalk.
Where you get a chance to see
an excellent co-host on that show. Who is that, Kevin?
I don't know. This guy's a clown. Anyways, well, we want to thank you for coming in. You're always a jovial and a good egg when you come in to talk with us, and we always appreciate
it's
your time.
It's always a pleasure.
And we appreciate the extra 10 minutes we got out of you.
Likewise.
Leading up to Jeff and Eileen, who are going to be, who are on deck. You know them from their show, All Things Food, when they're here Wednesday nights at 6:15. They're going to be coming in studio in just a couple of moments, but we're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.